Amen. Go ahead and find a seat, guys. We're going to mix it up a little bit today. Yeah, if you are a guest, I want to welcome you. I know we got a lot of fresh faces, a lot of people joining us for the first time. And so welcome. We hope that you feel at home here more than anything else, that you encounter the presence of the living God. That's why we gather here, not around a pastor, not around a band, but around God. Anybody want to be part of that kind of community where it's about him? He's the center. He's what we're doing. And so we're learning what that means. And so if you're new here, we don't got it all figured out. We talk about this. This is kind of an active experiment that we're running here. Can a people really be about one thing? And that's Jesus. Can we really be about God? And everything flows out of that. So we're learning as a community what that means. And so today, I want to finish up and wrap up the series that's entitled Abundance. Abundance. 3 weeks ago, kicked this off, we talked about an abundant mindset and how Jesus, when he taught, he said, you know, if you have a good eye, what he was saying is if you see the world with abundance, there's going to be much light and you're going to be a generous person. But if you have a bad eye, remember he talks about that, what he means, if you have an eye that sees the world through the lens of scarcity, that there's not enough, that God's not enough, that I'm not enough, that means none of y'all are enough. If that's how I see it, then he says the darkness in you, man, it's gonna get so dark. And so we talked about, man, we wanna be a people that see and have a mindset like God, that there is enough. He created creation to be enough, and we don't have to just be competitive and territorial and empire building, that there is enough. And then last week we talked about an abundant perspective. Like, what is the purpose of God giving abundance? And we talked about it, that the purpose of abundance is to be generous, not to accumulate. The last thing the world needs is a stingy church, a stingy people that claim they know God who gave everything so that he could have us. And so we talked about, man, we gotta have a right perspective about what is abundance, what's it mean to have, and then what do we do with that, right? And so today, I wanna wrap up today, and I wanna talk about a gift, and I wanna talk about an abundant gift. And today, I wanna challenge maybe some ways that we view things. It's really what Jesus did all the time. He was always challenging perspective, challenging the way a community or society saw things. And he was always offering them truth, and that was called repentance. When we'd say, okay, I'm believing something wrong and I agree with truth, I come into the mindset of, that's called repentance. And so today, I think there's room for us to see specifically giving today as a gift. That's the premise of today, that there's this abundant gift, and it's the gift of giving. And so today I want to challenge how we see giving, and I want to talk about what it looks like for us to be a people that give as the one who gave everything for us. What's that look like? Now, when we talk about money, oftentimes I get the question, whether you've been in church once or you've been in church for 30 years, 40 years, I get this question a lot. What do we believe about tithing? What is a tithe? What is a tithe? And if you're new to faith, like, that word may mean nothing to you, but let me just help clarify. The word tithe, everybody say tithe. It's not a four-letter word. It's a beautiful word. Tithe. It means 10%. Everybody just say 10. 10, 10. Tennessee, 10%, right? It is 10%, and it's of our increase or of our income. So that's literally what the word means. Now, oftentimes, if you grew up maybe in a church like I grew up, we talk about tithes and offerings, right? So if a tithe is 10%, an offering is anything above a tithe. That's really what it means. So when people say tithes and offerings, a tithe is the 10%, and the offering is above that. Now, I grew up in church. I remember at the little country church that I grew up on the wall, it said weekly attendance, and then under that, guess what it said? Tithes, right? And it had a number, and if the number wasn't right, sometimes we would just kind of stare at that number for a while, the pastor would, right? Anybody ever been in that kind of church? Yeah, right, right, yeah. I'm not the only one. And so I've been in churches where the tithe is preached like, man, if you do not tithe, you are under a curse. Some of y'all are chuckling because y'all been to that same church, right? Man, watch out, man. They're going to get you. Man, your family's not going to be protected if you don't tithe. And honestly, it's a little cringy, right? And then I've been in other communities where there's no talk of money at all. And so today I wanna address the topic of giving. And I wanna give you, I think, some biblical truth that will set some people free today. Anybody else wanna be free today? I want you to be free. I wanna be greater, to a greater level free. And so when you say, Derek, what do you believe about the tithe? Here's the way I see it, that the tithe is a beautiful principle from God. It's not a commandment. Everybody say amen to that. Like, let's get excited about that. It is a beautiful principle that God gave us. It is not a commandment. And the reason I say that is because the tithe, it predates the law, and we see in Moses. Right? God gave the law to Moses. So before the law was ever given to Moses, before the commandments, there was a tithe represented, a 10%, a giving. And then in the law to Moses, there was also a tithe represented. It was the gift. They were supposed to give 10% back to the Lord. And then even after that, we see Jesus, he gets on the scene and he's criticizing, he's critiquing, which God does critique us. He's critiquing the religious leaders saying, listen, you guys tithe on everything. Even like the little mint leaves that you pull off your garden, you give 10%. He's like, you should continue to do that, but don't miss the weight of your things. Justice, mercy, love. So Jesus doesn't say, don't tithe. He just says, listen, don't negate that, but don't like allow your giving of your finances to make you think that you get a free pass on the things that I actually care about more than that. Right? And so we see this idea. And so if you ask me, like, what do I think about the tithe? What do we as a church think about the tithe? I think it's a beautiful gift. So personally, my family and I had this revelation when I was still an engineer, when I was in my mid-20s, we began to tithe, and we still do to this day because I think there's a gift. Do I do it because I have to? No. There's freedom in the room today. And so I'm gonna show you some texts today. And today I wanna talk about this beautiful gift. And the first text I'm gonna be in, and I'm gonna be at a lot, and so you might just wanna try to keep up or just on the screen today. 2 Corinthians is where we're gonna set up shop for most of the day, chapter 8, chapter 9. But I wanna start here in chapter 9 because I think Paul gives us some great meat to chew on as we're thinking about giving today. He says the point is this. So he's got a bullet point. This is the point. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully or abundantly will also reap abundantly or bountifully. Now look at verse 7. Each one must give. Who's supposed to give? Each one, okay, that's the first point, as he has decided in his heart. Aren't you glad it doesn't say each one of you should give based on what the pastor tells you to give? Come on, let's get excited about that. That's not the church you're at. I don't know where you grew up. That's not the church you're at today. The beautiful text here says, as the Lord has put in your heart, that's what you are to give. Do you see the freedom in it? It's not a law. It's not a requirement. It's not like a bounty on your head if you don't give. No, he says, listen, each one of you in your heart, you know what to give. I'll tell you what to give. You give based on that, not just to try to appease some God up there that says, give me your money. Oh, and then he goes on. He says, as you decide in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you have ever seen somebody who is a representative of God, so somebody of faith and leadership, ever manipulate somebody for money? Anybody else here besides me? Some of you are lying right now, right? We're in church, right? And so I just want to start out, I want to apologize on behalf of men and women over the years that have used their position as a faith leader in the community to manipulate men and women to give out of compulsion or manipulation. We're just gonna call it what it is. That is true. It's alive and well. Even today, there are people standing in pulpits all over our country and across the world that are speaking in a way that's putting pressure and a weight that wasn't meant to be on the congregation. Can we just say that's true, right? And so I'm telling you, as your leader, we will not do that. Will we talk about money? Yeah, Jesus talked about money. But listen, I'm telling you, if you ever sense that we are trying to manipulate or conniving or trying to do something, you come to me directly and we will deal with it. Trust me, because that's not our heart. He says, give not begrudgingly, not with bitterness, not like anger. Oh, I wish I didn't have to give. No, what's he say? God loves a what giver? Oh, doesn't that sound like a gift? Like, what if you're giving locally here to this church or anywhere else you sow your money? What if it was meant to be a good thing for you? Oh, wait, maybe it's not all bad, right? And so what I want you to see is that giving is a gift. That's what we're talking about today. It's a gift, not a burden for followers of Jesus. And if we see it as a burden, we've missed the point. We've missed the essence of the good gift that God has given us and invited us into in being givers. And so it's not meant to be a heavy burden. It's not meant to be a weight. It's not meant to, oh, I got to do this. No, it's meant to be a cheerful, joyful. It's actually a good thing for me. And so today I want to slip into my old self or myself, but I want to go back into my engineering days. And today I'm going to give you a list. I usually don't preach this way, but like I want to make sure I hit these 5 points. And so I'm going to give you a list of 5 reasons why giving is a gift. And I'm hoping that some of these will free us up today when we think about finances. So gift number one is giving directs our heart. Jesus gave us this clarity in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. This is where we started this series 2 weeks ago. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there also will be your what? Your what? So what we see is that our money, our treasures, our finances, our things that we have, it actually gives direction. It's like the rudder, like if you have a boat, it's the rudder for your heart. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now we have this amazing text here that tells us that, but here's the thing, we know this as just people, right? Like I use this analogy generally, but let's say like, you have some money, maybe you inherited some money, or maybe you got some money, you sold something, and you're like, I want to invest in stocks. And so let's say you pick the stock, let's just pick one that all of us know, Apple. This is not stock advice, a disclaimer on there, no sugar. If you picked Apple, and you didn't give a care about Apple, you're a PC person, but now you've taken some money and you put in Apple, and so guess what? When you get up on Tuesday morning and you look at the money news, guess what you're going to be looking for? Apple. Do you know why? Because that's where some of your treasure is and your heart follows. You're going to start caring about Apple. You're going to start thinking like, when is the new iPhone coming out? When are they going to rip people off again? Like, I need some money, right? Like your heart is going to be there. Like some of you, like non-Apple people are saying, yes, that's right. Somebody preach it, right? Like we know that. And here's the other thing, like kids, how many of you know kids are expensive? They're so expensive, and we love our kids. I love you boys down here. We love them because they have our DNA. Like, they're part of us. But you know why else we love them, I really think? This came to me this week. Is because they're so darn expensive. Like, if our heart follows our treasure, you're not going to have one thing in life cost more than your kids. Even your house, maybe. Like, it's kind of questionable. Like, which costs more, kids or house, right? Am I right? So our heart follows our treasure, and this is the truth. So last week we talked about how money makes a terrible master. You pursue it and you're putting your hope, security, your identity in money, man, it's gonna leave you wanting more. It's gonna break your heart. But I said it makes a cruel master, but it makes a what? It makes an amazing servant. And this is one of the ways that money can serve you and me is it directs our heart. So one of the things I know that God cares about is his bride, the church, right? And so I would encourage you, like, if I want to be a man who loves what God loves, he loves lots of things, but one of the things I know he loves is the church. And so I would say, and this is how I functioned before I was ever a pastor, I want to give to what God does because I know as I give, guess what follows? My heart. And if I want to love the thing God loved, then I should give to what God loves, right? Am I making sense here? Like, this is the invitation that we have. And so one of the ways that money or giving is a gift is that it directs our heart. It's so powerful that you and I have the ability to point our heart in different directions, how we spend our money. Number two thing is that giving is a gift because it is an expression of love. It's an expression of love. I love what Paul says here in chapter 8, verse 8. He's talking about one church who's lacking. They're going through a hard season. He's talking to another church that has abundance financially. And he says, hey, these guys are hurting. And so he begins to address them and he begins to ask them to help with this other community. And he says, I say this not as a command. Do you hear that? I don't know where we as pastors get like, I've got to tell you what to do. He says, I'm not commanding you to be generous. I'm just inviting you to be generous. Very different. One comes with a heavy weight and one's a cheerful giver, right? Not manipulation. He says, I'm not commanding you. But look what he says. He says, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. So when I give, whether it's my finances, whether it's my words, whether it's my service, whether it's like these men and women up here that are gonna be leading us here in worship, when I give, it's an expression that I love them. Now here's the thing, we don't give to get love. Like that's not what we're doing. I don't like, God, here's my 10%, will you love me? No, it's like, God, you love me first. When I can offer anything, so here's my response is I wanna be like you, here it is. And so we want to be a people that don't try to give to get love, but we give to people as an expression of love. And we see this all throughout the text. 1 John 3, I'm just going to hit this one because I think it's so beautiful. It says this, we know love by this. It starts off so beautiful. By this we know love. And look how you and I know love. Because Jesus laid down his life. What did he do? He gave his life. That we ought to lay down our lives, that we ought to give our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, I love the little children. John's like, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Let me contextualize it. He's like, don't just talk a big game on social media and not put your money where your mouth is. He said, man, if you see a family member, you see a brother, you see a need, and you have abundance, you have the means, and you withhold that, he said, are you really loving them? See, giving, whatever it is, financially, or whether it's, like I said, serving somebody, or just being present with somebody, when we give, we're expressing love. And so Christ, he gave us himself. And he says, we know love. We know how to be loved because he gave himself for us. This is the essence. And so as a church, we don't want to just talk a big game. Like, I don't want us to just talk about how do we love people and talk about God as love and yet never actually take a step and actually love people. And sometimes that love looks like giving something. So today we see that, man, giving is a gift because it's one of the ways that we express our love. The third thing, and I like this one a lot, it's giving is a gift because it activates our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We know that God loves to respond to our faith. He loves that. And so I like how Paul and Jesus oftentimes speak into the reality of the people they're speaking to. So it was an agrarian economy that they were living in this day. And so they speak a lot about farming. And so Paul, like I said earlier, to this church in Corinth, he gives this. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What is that? That is a farming terminology, right? About a seed. And as you sow that seed, as you sow it, the expectation is that there's going to be more than one seed that comes back. And when Kate and I, we got married, and I was an engineer, and we bought our first house, it was this little brick ranch house, but it sat on 5 acres in Ohio, in a very rural area of Ohio, and it was a learning experience, to say the least. for a young family learning how to fix houses and remodel and all that stuff. But one of the things that was always a dream of mine was to grow sweet corn. Anybody else love sweet corn in here, right? It's so good. I love sweet corn. If you've never had Ohio sweet corn, you are missing out. I'm telling you, Tennessee's got nothing on Ohio. It's like what we're known for, amazing sweet corn. It's like the perfect area for that. And so I had this dream of growing sweet corn. And in my zeal for this, I didn't start with where I should have started, which is like a garden size of sweet corn. That would have been smart, like pilot this thing, make sure you know what you're doing. Instead, I started with 4 acres of sweet corn. Some of you are laughing because you know where this is going. And so I took that and I took the seed and put it in the ground with an expectation that things were gonna grow. And then after a little while, we would go out, my son and I, we would go out and we would look for anything. Like, isn't anything coming up? And then after a few weeks, we'd see this little sprouts and we're like, oh my goodness, here it comes. And then eventually this 4 acres became 4 acres of tall corn stalks with ears on them. And one day my wife, who was, I don't know, how pregnant were you? Eight months. She just emphatically told me she was 8 months pregnant. And I said, baby, it's almost time to harvest. Like, I'm so proud. And she's like, where's like the machine that's gonna pick the corn? 4 acres. I said, you're looking at it, baby. We can laugh now. We've been through a lot of counseling. Because my 8-month pregnant wife was out there about 6 a.m, because you gotta pick before the sun comes up, because that's where the sugar is highest. See, I know my stuff. You gotta pick early, because I'm selling it. It's got my name on it. We had to pick it early in the morning when the dew's still out. My wife, big old pregnant belly, out there picking corn, throwing it in a big watermelon, like a box thing on a pallet. That's how great of a husband I was. 8 months. It's you and me, baby. We're picking, yeah. I say that because what did I have to do? I had to take a kernel of corn and put it in the ground, put some fertilizer there, cover it up, and then I had to wait. You know what that's called? That's called faith. My expectation is that when I plant this thing, it's gonna yield more fruit than what I put in the ground. And so he's like, man, if you sow bountifully, you should expect that there's gonna be a bountiful return. And so just like us giving, guess what we do? When we give, we sow a seed. It's so beautiful that Jesus would use it now, that Paul would use it. We sow a seed, and the hope is, and the faith is, that that seed will yield fruit that we may not ever see. See, that's the hard part. So like, if I find out about a single parent in my sphere of influence, and I recognize they're having some hard time, and I just go to them and say, hey, I just want to bless you. I'm going to cover your rent this month. Guess what I'm doing? I'm planting a seed. I'm sowing a seed. And guess what? That requires faith, because I don't control the outcome. They may not use that money the way that I would want them to use that money. Anybody else say preach that, right? They may use it, and it may be better than what I thought they could use. But when I sow that seed, it is with faith. It activates my faith. I'm trusting what the Lord's gonna do it. So whether it's you sowing into Christ Fellowship, or you've got an organization, a missionary, you've got just in your neighborhood, when you do that, when we give, it activates faith. And I'm telling you, God loves and is drawn to faith. And so it's a gift to us, because it keeps us from being just like, I got everything together and I don't need anything, don't rock the boat. It actually puts us in a position where I gotta trust the Lord. And so it's a gift to us that we get to do that. Number 4 is giving cultivates community. 2 Corinthians 8:13-15. He says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at this present time should supply their needs. Ah. So that their abundance may supply your need. It's both ways. That there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the picture of what church is meant to be. The early book of Acts, it says, man, when there was a need, man, people sold what they had and they brought the money and they laid it and everybody's needs were taken care of. When there was lack, they had abundance, somebody gave. When this person had abundance and this person had lack, they gave out of that abundance and everybody was taken care of. Doesn't that sound amazing? Yes, right here. We got one yes, right? Like this is what the church, this is what the community of God is meant to be, where we are a family and we take care of one another. There's seasons where I have a lot of means, and sometimes there's seasons in our community where somebody may be on hard times. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. And so what the beautiful part of community is that we help one another. Maybe you're running low on hope today. I'm telling you, there's some people in this church that carry hope. And what it looks like in community is for that person that carries hope to give out of their generosity, out of their abundance, generously to the person that has no hope. Somebody just need to have a friend. Some of us are really good at being friends and we need to connect up. Some of us are going through some really hard time and need somebody to show compassion. There's people in this church that have the gift of compassion. This is God's design and desire for his community called the church, is that we take care of one another. He said, out of their abundance, they gave. And then out of that person's abundance, they gave. This is the beautiful part. And it's really what community is founded on. It's giving and receiving. If all you're doing as a community is giving, you got a job, not a community. Capture that one real quick again. I'll say that about this church. If all you find yourself doing is giving, giving, giving at this church and never receiving, you got a job, not a community. The community of God is not just you giving, it's also you receiving. One of the great things I love about what was established before I ever got here is that I have no idea how much anybody ever gives. I have no idea. I can look at everybody in the face. I got no idea if you give or not give. It's great. It's purity of heart in that, right? But what I do know is there's been families in our church who gave year after year after year in our church, and then in a season, they found themselves down on luck. And so they were challenged to say, man, I was always a person that gave, and now I said, look, you're in a season of receiving because you're part of a family. There's seasons of generosity, there's seasons of abundance, but there's also seasons of receiving. See, this is what community, any community you're based on, is a giving and receiving. And so when we give, when we sow into one another's lives with our words, with our presence, with our money, man, there's a community that's cultivated and it honors the Lord. And so it's a gift because it cultivates communion. The last one that I want to touch on here today is that giving is a way for us, it's a gift because it's a way for us to partner with God. There's so many ways that God is moving. And we're actually gonna sing a song here in a minute. It talks about, even when I can't see it, even when I can't feel it, you're at work. How many of you are glad our faith is not based on our feelings, right? So it's not based on that. And so as a people that are in relationship with God, we wanna see his rule and reign. We wanna see his kingdom established on the earth. And so we, as his children, are given the opportunity to partner with him to see that happen in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in our region. And I love how Paul says this. He says this to the Corinthians here a little bit later in that letter. He says, by their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all the others. What he's saying is your generosity, your giving financially, it ultimately brought glory to God and it allowed them to experience the goodness of God, and it brought much gratitude is what it says a little bit later. And I love to think about this. Like, I love investing. I love business. I love talking about all that stuff. I love how God has given us the ability to create and to innovate and to invest financially and to see a return and to see business. I love all that. I love it. It's a passion of mine. But what I want you to consider is, instead of just applying that to, you know, good financial investments or whatnot, what would it look like to shift my mind, to repent, to change my mind, to say, what would it look like for me to sow my money in ways that partner with God? And specifically, let me give you a couple examples of what that looks like. So recently, in our nation, there was a very large event that happened, and Roe versus Wade was taken or was adjusted. And so just to be clear, it wasn't the abolition or it wasn't saying that abortion's illegal. What it said is that the federal government shouldn't decide that. It should go to the state. So are we clear? Because there's a lot of fake news about this. Do you know that? Like, it didn't make anything illegal. Like, I just make sure we're all on the same page. I don't care. Make sure you're reading the right sources. It didn't make it. It just said the states now have the ability to decide what to do with it. Do we know that? That's really what it meant. And so what I saw is a lot of people. Now, here's the hard part. We live in a part of the country that is relatively conservative. Like, we can just say that. It's nothing wrong. It's just what it is. And so in our country, even in churches, there were people that were celebrating this, and there was also people that were mourning. Can we just be, like, that's real life. That's real. I know in our part of the region, it's not that, but that's real. And so there's, what I saw was a lot of Christians excited. Yes, we won. Let's have a parade. Let's protest. Let's go. And social media was all over. And if that was you, man, I'm no offense to you, but we were on social media. And yet, what happens oftentimes is we celebrate that, but we actually aren't willing to do the work that comes with that. Like, I'm pro-life because God is the author of all life. In every area, I'm pro-life. Every area. You take that as far as you want, I'm for life. But we got to recognize that when this happened in some parts of the country, that it disproportionately hurts some people in our culture. The poor, predominantly. Those that maybe don't have social support, like many of you just take for granted, like I take for granted. And so there's this disproportional impact on certain people in our society. And so what I saw was people celebrating parades, yay, victory. And yet I question, are we really gonna be the church that takes care of what's gonna happen next? See, 1 John said, man, if you see the need, and you just talk about it, if you just get on social media and post about it, and you're not willing to actually do the work, do you really have the love of God in you? And so my invitation to you, if you are so pro-life and you're in for it, man, that's great. I applaud you. That's amazing. But what if you were actually willing to put your money where your mouth is? Like what if you found somebody who's trying to adopt in our church here, and you said, hey, I'm so glad that you're keeping this baby or that you're trying to adopt a baby. I want to help financially. What are you doing? You're partnering with God. Do you see how practical this is? We don't want to just talk about it. There's a lot of talk. Listen, the same people that had a parade for Jesus cried crucify him a couple days later. Man, you got to be careful about mob mentality, thinking. As the church, man, let's be pro-life in every way, but let's be willing to help those that it's going to be affecting. And so if you're passionate about it, man, we would love to help you. Or maybe this other one. Let me give you one more example. If you say, man, I am so against human trafficking, just the thought of that makes you so, that justice thing, you wanna be, see human trafficking completely done away with. Like, what would it look like for you to partner with God by sowing into organizations or missionaries or people locally that are actually doing the work? Like, let's not make this too complicated. Like, we've been given a gift not to just partner with companies and make money, not just sowing in stocks and make money or making good real estate. And those are all good things. You keep doing those things. But, like, what if we thought, like, how can I partner with God to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Like, what if that actually made it anywhere in our list of things we think about with our money? I think a lot would be good. I think a lot of change would happen. I think someone great. So I want to leave you with these couple questions. They're going to be up here for you to think about this week. They're going to be built out. So if you want to take a picture here in a second, you can. But here's some questions that I'm going to be considering this week, and I would invite you to consider this week. Number one is where is my money directing my heart? It's real easy. You can just go to your bank account. You can go to your portfolio, and you see, man, where is my heart going? Where am I giving my money? Where am I sowing my money? Where am I saving? All those things are good, but just you should say, man, where is it going? And then the follow-up question, is that really where I want my money or where my heart going? Oh, that's a great question, isn't it? Number two is how am I expressing love with my abundance? I'm not giving to get love, but I give because I've been loved and I want to express love. So how am I doing with my abundance and sowing in to those around me with love? Number three is my faith in my money or is my faith activated by my generosity? That's a great question. And there's no condemnation. Maybe today you find yourself on that road, but like, man, I got a lot of faith in my money. That's a great place to start with that kind of truth. But like, what would it look like for you not to just put your faith, your hopes, your security, your identity in your money, but what would it look like to actually activate faith with how you give your money? It's a question we should ask. Fourth question here is, how am I blessing my community with my money? How am I blessing my community with my money? Is my neighborhood, is my family, is my region, is it flourishing? Maybe not fully because of me, but part of me because of how I'm using my money. It's a great question we should ask. Real practical, right? And then lastly, and this is the one I just ended with, is how is my money partnering with God's heart to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? And I'm so glad that my role as your pastor is not to tell you what to do. It's not to command you. You gotta give 10%. Do I think it's a good gift? Yeah, I do. I think it's a great gift to us, the tithe. It's a beautiful principle. But this week, just remind yourself that it's really you and the Lord that should have this conversation. As you decide in your heart, give. Not because somebody told you to or you have to. It's what makes a cheerful giver. And my heart as your pastor is that we all, individually but also community, would do what Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, says, that we would grow into the maturity, to the fullness of maturity of the Godhead, which is Christ himself. I want to look more like Jesus next year than today. I want our community to look more like Jesus. And honestly, I don't know if there's a better way to look like Jesus than to give. Give to the poor, give to the needy, give to somebody you know that's going through a hard time. Just give. We are so much like Jesus when that happens. So this week, I pray that you would consider, like, what does it look like to see giving not as a burden, not as I have to, but as a gift from God to make you into his image? Man, that's what I want to see in my life. That's what I want to see in your life. So I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing just a couple more songs here today. And what I want us to do in this moment is, Hebrews chapter 13 says that we should offer the Lord a sacrifice of praise. We should give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. And so today, you may say, man, I don't have a lot of money to give. That's not the point of today's message. It's not just about money. It's about whatever you've been given. The Lord says, give it away, give it away. And so today, maybe all you have is a voice to say, God, you are good. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna praise you. It's a sacrifice of praise. Maybe that's what you offer today. So Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life so that you could have us. Thank you that you showed us how to love by giving yourself. Thank you that you loved your church, the bride, so much that you willingly laid down your life so that you could have her. Lord, what I want in my life, what I want for our church is that we would be marked by generosity, that we'd be marked by a people that allow your abundance to flow through us, that we would be a blessing in Kingsport and Johnson City and Bristol to our neighbors here, that we would be a blessing to single parents, that we would care for the widow and the orphan, that we would not just be people that talk a good talk, but we would actually be the hands and feet that carry the good news of the kingdom of God. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you work in us even as we sing today? Turn our minds and our hearts to align with the kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.